Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor, senior citizens pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and we have been discussing, Pastor Joe, the characteristics of what it's going to be like to be living in perilous times or last times. And boy, this last session, it really got scary, but it got kind of exciting because we realized that while the characteristics that Paul shared with Timothy are characteristics that we are seeing in today's world. Lovers of themselves, covetousness, and boasters or braggarts. Man, how current can you get other than just saying, hey, that's where we are?
Absolutely, Pastor Greg. I mean, we go back in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy here, and we're reminded that Paul wanted Timothy to understand the seriousness of getting false teaching out of the church and having a shepherd's heart for his people, that they've got to avoid false teaching and those that are teaching it and the practices that they encourage. But they have to do that in a way that is gentle and meek and kind and patient with people because, you know, people are trapped in these things. And our ultimate goal is that they may recover themselves, they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil who's taken them captive.
Because that's exactly what false teaching does.
Yeah.
It's like a trap that you step into and wham, then you're caught.
Yeah, and so Paul says to Timothy that you've got to teach your people to get these things out of their lives and do it in a way that your focus and your heart is on people knowing and learning the truth. But be aware, here's what you're going to deal with. These are the kind of people that are going to be in the end times. And so, you know, he says, this know also, be consciously aware of this and constantly aware of this. He says that in the last days, this serious, perilous, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves. We looked at that. And then the next word there, some Bibles translate it covetous. And the actual literal word there we saw was silver lovers.
Silver lovers, right.
Lovers of money is a good translation. And then we saw that we had ended last time with the fact that the very next word is the idea of boasters, or a good rendering would be braggarts. In fact, it starts three words here, the boasters, and then arrogant, and then revilers.
Mm-hmm.
And these three words have a relationship. The braggarts are the ones that incessantly talk of self, and that comes from an arrogant, conceited attitude, which is the second word there, arrogant.
Right.
And then the revilers are the result of a constant talk of self and the arrogant attitude about self. The result is you're talking down about others.
Basically abusive speech toward anybody that you feel like might be your inferior.
Yeah. Demeaning, denigrating, negative, abusive speech is exactly what it's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Plato described a braggart as a person who claims greatness he doesn't possess.
Right.
And, you know, we all know these kinds of people that they brag and they boast about their accomplishments. Very often they twist the truth, they take the truth, but they overstate it to the point where it's really got no basis in reality anymore. It's such an exaggeration because it's like self-aggrandizement. They restate the facts, but in such an exaggerated way that it makes them look good. And it puffs up and calls attention to themselves.
Visions of grandeur.
Yeah. We often refer to people like this as know-it-alls, and they're trying to deceive people into thinking they're brilliant. And one commentator said they love to see their names in print and their faces on television. They love to hear themselves.
Exactly.
Well, that certainly reminds me these days of politicians. Mm. You know, they always want their face on television or their names in print. They exaggerate their abilities. They exaggerate their accomplishments, their talents, and their reputation, and they have a way over-exaggerated value about themselves in relationship to society and, in some cases, the church. And another commentator said they are always the heroes of their own stories.
And they love to tell them every day. How true that is.
Yeah. They glory in self is what they do. They glory in themselves and their accomplishments. And the writer Jude said that they just love to speak great swelling words.
Couldn't be said any other way. I mean, it just lets us know that these folks are thrilled to have you listen to them.
Yeah. And so Paul says to Timothy, these are going to be some of the primary characteristics of the end times.
Mm-hmm.
Self-lovers, silver lovers, boasters, and then arrogant. Of course, that just means proud, conceited.
Right.
Having an exaggerated sense of one's own importance, haughty. You know, it's interesting. The original word is a compound word that just means overshiner.
Wow. You know, it reminds me of my doctoral dissertation that I did on pastoral burnout, and they said that one of the problems that pastors often face is when God blesses their ministry, they forget that it's God blessing their ministry, and their congregation begins to put them up on a pedestal, and as a result of that, they are sitting there on their pedestal, and they're thinking, boy, this is really nice. I like it up here. And they began to call it the pedestal problem. And how true. I mean, even pastors then can become boasters and proud. Even when we think we're serving the Lord, it's something that we forget can cause us to fall and go through destruction.
Yeah, and, you know, the other side of that coin is a disdain for others. You know, you're looking at yourself and you're focusing on yourself and elevating yourself. Well, the automatic natural consequence of that is you're putting others down and you're demonstrating a disdain for others. When self is the only one in sight, everybody else is out of sight.
Wow.
And it just is the person that is perpetually self-exalting and they boast and they bluster their way into power and prominence. And everybody else is supposed to just appreciate that.
Right, right. Bow down and worship, as it were.
Yeah, and very often, one of the good things to do in Bible study, too, is to take a look at what's the opposite of what it is you're talking about. And so the opposite here, of course, to these characteristics of the sinful end times and the heart of man, what would be the biblical virtue? Well, the biblical virtue, the opposite of this, would be meekness and humility.
Right, right.
And having a proper perspective of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, there's just scripture verse upon scripture verse that encourages us that to have a correct understanding that no flesh will glory in God's presence.
Right.
You know, we're all just fallen, but praise the Lord, redeemed, forgiven sinners. And the scripture encourages us that if we glory, we're to glory in the Lord.
Amen. You know, it amazes me as I look at those words, you know, boasting and proud and arrogant and abusive speech. And then the very next thing is disobedient to parents. So these characteristics are not necessarily characteristics only of adults, but they're characteristics of young people who begin to think of themselves as God's gift to humanity and God's gift to their family. And boy, I tell you what, all of a sudden, they begin to become the focus of attention in the family. And if their parents tell them to do something, why do I have to listen to you? And again, it gets back to the pride issue.
Yeah, I mean, you look out in our culture and our society today, and it's obvious if you have your eyes open that disobedience of children toward their parents has become endemic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a commonplace characteristic of our society today. And to a certain extent, why should we be surprised? They've been taught in our school systems self-esteem, self-actualization.
Right.
You know, what matters is what you want and you're entitled and you deserve. And then, of course, on the other side of that, we've got, you know, the disappearance of parents. We've got moms going into the workforce. And, of course, we know that in some cases that's critically important for that family. But it's a shame that our society has come to that point where moms are absent from home, dads are absent from home, and now who steps in but Big Brother and the nanny state, all too happy to fill that void.
Right.
And then you add to that countless hours of unmonitored and unchecked television and electronic media.
And it's amazing that the programs that many times our kids are watching, you know, where you've got the canned laughter there, just look to see what they're laughing at. And it's often they're laughing at sassiness toward authorities.
Yeah, rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And taking an already self-willed, fallen nature that's already bent towards sin, and then you add to that all of the prevailing philosophy and teaching and the entertainment system and everything else that goes into just reinforcing and supercharging their sinful nature.
Right.
Is basically what it's doing to the point where they just demand satisfaction. They demand their own comfort. They demand their own amusement. And everything else takes a back seat. It's what they want and what makes them feel good. And it's not just children. It's everybody. It's gotten so bad that, you know, you look out. How often have you been out in a store or a restaurant and seen a child, even an older child, have a temper tantrum and the parent just stands there helpless?
Right, Right. And so as a result of that, we say now, how many years ago was it that Paul said this would be happening? And voila, here we are, and it is happening. And the exciting thing is the fact that he is saying in the last days, these are the characteristics. And Pastor Joe, I can't help but believe we are truly in the last days. Not setting dates for the Lord's return, but boy, definitely realizing we are living in days that are perilous, and we need to be focusing our attention on winning folks to Christ.
Amen. You know, the next one is ungrateful in our list here. We've got a total of 18 characteristics of these last days, and the next one is ungrateful. And it really just basically comes from a word that could literally be translated ungracious. The root idea there is without thankfulness,
sure,
without grace. And it's just a complete lack of gratitude in not only their feeling and their attitude, but in how they show it, or more pointedly, how they don't show it.
Right, right.
And the idea is their thinking is simply, I deserve it. I deserve everything good that I get. Therefore, I don't need to be thankful to anybody. I deserve this.
You know, one thing that we taught our boys when they were at home was whenever you get a gift, you are to write a thank you note for it. And if you're too busy to write a thank you note, then you have to give the gift back. That kind of motivated our boys to write thank you notes. But we've noticed that in today's society, boy, you can give a lot of gifts. You know, we have just gone through graduation times, and you can send out a lot of graduation gifts. It's interesting to note how many thank you notes you get back. I think, it gets back to the fact that, okay, thanks, I deserve that. You know, okay, I've graduated, I've accomplished this, I've accomplished that, and you're acknowledging that. And they don't even consider the fact that there should be a heart of gratitude for the gift. But, indeed, it is the sign of the times. And so, as we look at these things, we've run out of time, Pastor Joe, to talk about the next one, of being unholy. So the next time we get together, we'll have to pick up on that one. We definitely are living in an unholy day. In fact, if you try to lift up anything that is holy, you're laughed at. Like, what in the world are you talking about? But yet, God says, that is so godly. And of course, that's the way you and I want to live, and we know that that's the way our listeners are wanting to live. So I trust that as we see these characteristics, our life will be bent toward God and bent toward holiness. So until this next time, we trust you will have a great day living for the Lord in perilous times, waiting for His soon return. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a tremendous way.